Take your Bibles, go to Proverbs chapter 17. I actually was scheduled to preach, I think, last week, and then, or 2 weeks ago, and then I had the football got changed. And this is something that really is near and dear to my heart, and I've been excited about preaching about this for several months now. In the last 2 years, I've traveled and get to travel a little bit here and there, and I've traveled to mission fields quite a bit. I think I've been on 12 different mission fields, and always take kids with me, and that's always fun, taking bus kids across the border. It's like the reverse flow, you know? Instead of them coming here, we go there. And man, the Lord's blessed, and we've had a good time. But one thing I've noticed as I've gone to the mission field and mission trips, I'm going again in February. I'm going to Peru, and June I'll go to Honduras, and November I'll go to Guatemala. And as I go, and even as I go and preach at churches, I find out one thing as I speak to youth pastors in particular, as I speak to pastors, this one subject kind of always comes up. And the subject is the subject of loneliness. And whether it's in a youth meeting with a youth pastor or whether it's in a church with a pastor, I hear, by the way, they're married, okay? They're not lonely like you, okay? But I hear them, we'll get to talk about ministry and so on, and I'll ask, I say, what is one of the greatest hindrances, or what's something in your life or in ministry that kind of bothers you a little bit and hurts? And I've had many tell me, Brother Ricky, it's very lonely out here. It's very lonely. And they'll say, you're taking time and bringing teens with you makes a world of difference. And they'll say, I'll talk to pastors, and they'll say, you know, we don't really have a lot of friends. There's this old philosophy that's been taught in the past that pastors should not have friends, that you can't get too close to people. And I disagree with that, by the way. I think you ought to make friends. I think you ought to make good friends. I think you ought to make godly friends, first and foremost. And I hear them talk about how lonely. I was in Italy a few years ago, and I was with a missionary. And my wife and I were there. We're actually celebrating our, I think it was like our 23rd wedding anniversary. And so we were there. And by the way, always go to church when you go on vacation. I don't know where this thing says that I'm on vacation. You're going to find some good Christians. You're going to find some phenomenal churches. And so I was in Italy, and I stepped into a small little church, Grace Baptist Church, a missionary there. And there's about 25 people there. And the missionary had a little boy. He's 9 years old. He's always lived in Italy. He's never lived in America. He speaks English. His parents are American missionaries. And the little boy came up and just, I mean, with the biggest glee on his face, said, "Are you from America?" And I said, "Yes, we're from the United States." You know, there's North America, South America. Some of you forget that. But I said, "Yes, we're from the United States." And the little boy said to me, "Do you speak English?" And we said, "Yes, I look like I'm illegal, but yes, I speak English." And the little boy said, "Wow." And his mom told us that day, said, "Boy, it meant the world to my son that somebody from America would come visit him." And it meant the world that somebody spoke English and was with him. And I want to talk to you this morning about 7 characteristics of a good friend. 7 characteristics of a good friend. Let me say this. If life is a boat, if life is this big tugboat, a steamship, you're going to have several different types of friends. The first type of friends, you're going to have those that are going to hop on and hop off. They're not going to be there for much longer. You've experienced that already in this last year. Some of you were so close-knit in high school. You were like the squad. By the way, what a dumb name. You were whatever. Leave the squads to the military, okay? The squad, the posse, the group, whatever. The idiots, the morons, okay? You were so close in high school, and you graduated, and you've not talked to each other since. You've not seen each other since. I want you to listen to this statement. For many of you, your friendship, it was faith that brought you together, and it is the lack of faith that'll tear you apart. It is faith in the Christian school that brought you together, and it is the lack of faith that will tear you apart. You've already experienced in the last year how that your quote-unquote close friends are no longer there. Truth is, the friends of a lifetime are probably going to be the ones that are here, the ones that you meet here. By the way, the best friend you can meet here is the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, if you're not saved, get saved. Don't go to Bible college and go to hell. Man, what a waste of time. And by the way, Jesus ought to be the first and foremost friend. When I think of a friend, I want to share time with a friend. I want to share a meal with a friend. I want to share activities, adventures with friends. I want to share blessings. I want to share burdens with friends. How you doing with Jesus? See, on that ship of life, there's those that hop on and hop off. Some of you have already experienced that. Then there's the fair weather friends. Man, when that ship gets rolling, have you all ever been out on the ocean on a ship where just the waves are swelling? I have. What'd you do? I vomited. I got so sick, and then you get off and just the whole world keeps moving. But then there's the fair weather friends. When it's good, they're there. When it's bad, they're gone. You're going to face a lot of those. And then there's the true friends. Those are going to stick by you no matter what happens. The Bible says, Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Proverbs 18, 24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Let me just stop there and say that, you know, we are very selfish people. I visit many churches, and sometimes people say, how was that church? And I want to say, man, they're good. They got the gospel. They're preaching. They're winning people. And then I want to say, the most unfriendly church I've ever been to in my life. You need to lose yourself when you see people in church, and you need to make them feel welcome, and you need to make them feel like, man, that is the greatest thing in the world. Your visitors that you bring, you ought to just go and go overboard to try to make them feel welcomed and loved and accepted. Everybody wants a friend. Nobody wants to be that friend. Benjamin Franklin said, he said, be wise to make friends and wiser to change them. Be wise to make friends and wiser to change them. Dale Carnegie said, I went out to find a friend and could not find one there. I then went out to be a friend and found friends everywhere. Just stop there for a minute, and some of you need to go out and be a friend. Some of you are living on a one-way street that you want friendship directed towards you, but you don't direct friendship toward anybody else. Be a friend. Be the right kind of friend. Don't just sit back and say, well, he wasn't very friendly. You know, she didn't talk to me. She stuck up. He's conceited. No, go up and say hi. You know, a few weeks ago, I went to Red Robin, and there was a group of you. Y'all remember me? And there was guys and girls that were sitting at a booth. And I know they shouldn't have been because they were on campus. And you say, what'd you do? I walked in, my wife and I walked in. I think we had some kids with us. And I walked in, and what'd you do? Did you avoid them? No, I went straight to the table. How you doing, brother? And I want to act like the crazy Baptist when I see you in public doing stuff. Like, how you doing, brother? Are you all married? No, I didn't. And I went up there and I shook their hand and said, hey, how you doing, man? It's good to see you. I'm Brother Ricky from staff. Do you guys know me? Yes and no, you're good. And I'm a snitch, too. And no, be friendly. Go out of your way. You say, but that person's weird. Have you ever thought that maybe you're the weird one? Many years ago, I went to visit a young man in a mental hospital, and they brought him out, and they sat me in a room and with him, and he had an orange shirt on, and then there was all these different colors. I'm thinking, man, they let Skittles loose. They had like red and orange and yellow and all these kids in the room, and he came to me, and I'm like, why is this kid in orange, you know, and so on, and I found out later it's because if they have a psychosis, they put them in different colors, and they brought him to me, and the kid said, look behind you. There was nobody there. He said, they're watching you. He said, they hear everything you do. He said, be careful. He said, they might give you an orange shirt. I'm like, whoa. By the time I was done, I could not tell who was the one that needed help. Say, well, they're just not like me. They're not from my part of the country. They ain't my skin color. They don't sound like me. Be a friend. Be a friend. Let me give you the seven things real quick. Number one, a friend loves your God. A friend loves your God. Man, two friends get together. I've got good friends. I can't say that I have a lot of friends. I have a lot of acquaintances. People see me all the time. Hey, Brother Torres. I'm like, hi. I don't even know who you are. Hi. But a friend loves your God. Man, a friend talks about your God. A friend magnifies your God. A friend exalts your God. A friend talks about what God is doing in his or her life. It's not always about the latest sports score. It's not always about the latest song. It's not always about the latest Netflix thing you binged. A friend says, hey, I love my God. You're my friend. Do you love God too? We need a revival in talking about God. And saying, you know what, man, God is so good to me. I woke up this morning, man. I can see, I can clap, I can talk, I can scream. I had a good breakfast this morning. I live in a good home. I got a good car, got an amazing wife. God's good. And if I didn't have any of that, God is still good. But a friend, a true friend, loves your God. You need to be careful. I think some of you, one of the easiest places to backslide is in a Christian college. Why? Because you're living off everybody else's spirituality. You're living off everybody else's walking with God, and you're not doing it for yourself. But a true friend loves your God. Number two, a true friend is known to your parents. Recently, I talked to a pastor, and he said, man, he said, you know, it wasn't here, but he said, my daughter went away to a Bible college and met a young man who did not believe like we believe. My daughter fell in love with this young man. My daughter married this young man. In Bible college, she met a young man who doctrinally does not believe in salvation by grace through faith. Now, back home, I'm sure dad would have seen and would have said, let me talk to that boy. I want to make sure that boy's everything he ought to be. And you know, there's a lot of you in here, you've got friends in college here that your parents would never approve of. Crickets. You've got friends right here that if your dad knew, if your mom knew how these friends act, how they talk about authority, how they are critical, your mom or dad would say, son, we taught you a little better than that. Hey, daughter, you've never had friends like that. I'm afraid sometimes we hide our friends from parents because we know what our parents are going to think. We know what they're going to say. A friend loves your God. A friend is known to your parents. A friend does not hinder you. A friend helps you. He does not put a stumbling block. Hey, listen, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm not preaching a heavy message, but I'm going to ask you a question. Are you a better Christian in Bible college than you were in Christian high school? Now, let me just go there. When a friend says, let's leave the bus ride early, let's go out to eat, that is not a help, that's a hindrance. When a friend says, hey, you know what, sign in for me in class, I'm not going to class, that's not a friend, bro, that's not a help, that's a hindrance. And I see some of you smiling, I call your name out because that's what I do in teen church, and then a fight could break out. So when somebody signs you in, you think, oh, that's my friend. No, you just found out who is not a friend. If he will allow you to sin, he won't rescue you from it. A friend helps you. It doesn't hinder you. A friend puts you in check. A friend says, hey, man, don't do that. I remember years ago, I made the mistake of my ministry. Mistake of my ministry is a young man told me something that he had done. And I didn't go to authority, and I didn't say anything. And I just said, you know what? That's okay. It's between you and me, and I'm not gonna tell him. This is years ago, 20 years ago, 25 years ago. Years ago, that situation came up. And yet, and this time, the young man was married. And they got divorced. And I got subpoenaed to do a testify in the case. And the wife looked at me and she said, "You knew about this." And I had to say, "Yes, I did." And I never could repair that relationship. They're divorced. They have a son now that's about, it's got to be 20 years old. I often wonder what happened to that boy. I often wonder if that little boy is even saved. I often wonder what happened to that young lady, because the last time I saw her was probably 15 years ago, was at an event at the church, and I got the deepest glare from a person. A friend doesn't hinder you. He helps you. Next, a friend does not cheapen your life. A friend values your life. Listen to this quote. "Don't expect those who do not care about their reputation to suddenly start caring about yours." If you've got a friend that's lazy, run from him. Laziness is contagious. If you got a friend that is critical, run from him. Criticism is contagious. If you've got a friend who's not headed in the direction that you're headed, then make a U-turn. But a friend, young people, brings value to your life. You're better because they're your friend. You are better because they do not take away from you, they add to it. Let me finish. Number five, a friend is headed in the same direction that you are headed. Why in the world do you have friends who mock ministry when you're going to be in ministry? Kick them fools to the curb. Why in the world would you go and hang with friends whose standards and convictions are different than those that you allow and those that you've established for your life? Why are you dating a girl that your mama wouldn't approve of? Or a guy? But no, we're headed in the same direction. I love that illustration that we as a ministry here, and Brother Lutz and I worked together for many years in the youth department, and we're pulling on the same rope. We're not pulling against each other. And I'm afraid that some of you have got friends, and you're on the same rope, but pulling in opposite directions. Number six, it would be the last one. A friend, friend does not keep secrets. A friend keeps you right. A friend does not keep secrets. A friend keeps you right. I'm a good friend, but I'll snitch on you in a heartbeat. I've learned my lesson. I've kept my secrets. And I'm living with it to this day as a 53-year-old man. I'm living with the regret of a secret that I kept. Next, a friend will hurt you with the truth before you hurt yourself with sin. I'll hurt you. I'll lose you as a friend. You will say I'm no longer your friend. I'll always be your friend. But I will hurt you with the truth before you hurt yourself with the sin. The Bible says, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you?" Some of y'all need to break up with your friends. Some of y'all need to stop sitting in the back row because of your friends. Some of you are not doing anything in ministry because of your friends. Ammon had a friend. The Bible says, but Ammon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. Some of you have very subtle friends. Proverbs 27, verse 6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Now, I would rather hurt you, young people, with the truth before you hurt yourself with sin. A friend does not keep secrets. A friend keeps you right. Most of you will not have many friends, and many more will not have true friends. Let me say it again. Most of you will not have many friends, and many more will not have true friends. True friendship is found first and foremost in the faith. The Lord Jesus Christ, find somebody that loves both. Find somebody that loves both, and guess what? You'll have a friend for life. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Father God, thank you for today. Thank you for the enthusiasm, the excitement of the young people.